Good morning. Good morning. My name is Pastor Bob Rudebush. I want to welcome you each to our worship service today as we gather on this last part of our sermon series on connecting to God's grace. And we are going to share in Paul's exclamation about how nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. A few announcements. We are earlier recognized Joe and Leslie Larson. They've been a faithful part of our 8:30 service with ushering and greeting and being hosts, and they're moving away from us, and so we celebrated their ministry among us, and so we hope you'll lift them up in prayer. Also, we want to welcome those who are joining us via live stream, as well as being mindful of those of our fellow church members who are out at Leif Erickson Day Camp worshiping out there as we speak. And so we're grateful for the opportunities to be in worship together. We remind you that on the end of your events, there's a Connect card. And for those on a live stream, you can go up to the right-hand corner of your screen. You can also fill out a Connect card as well. And so we hope there on the back side of it is where you can make the connections to the being a part of the season opener for the men. Also helping us out with our block party, our epic block party, and if you're able to help with that, it's a place to connect with that, as well as many other opportunities to be in service and be the hands and feet of Christ. Because our mission here is to make disciples for Jesus Christ, for the transformation of the world, and the way that we do that is being a sanctuary of Christian hope, love, and encouragement in the heart of Sioux Falls. We will be hosting the Samaritan's Feet giveaway again. We hope that if you would like to help children, a way you can do that is $20 is a pair of shoes. Will help us as we help our children in our neighborhood and around. We will be doing that on Saturday, August 16th from 9 to 12, and we need a lot of hands to help us care for the children that day. So we hope that you'll help us with that. Also, a reminder again, our men's season opener is on Wednesday, August 23rd. Don Dittmanson's out on the table. You can pick up tickets there. Just be aware, great celebration, a great way to kick off the year spiritually for our men. And so we hope that you will sign up for that as well. Also in your insert is there an insert for prayers, and we hope that you'll take that home and be praying for persons who have requested prayer from us. Also, there's a prayer card in your pew if you have a specific prayer that you would like lifted up today in worship. Our ushers will come around during our music time to pick those up as well. So again, we're glad to have each of you here, especially our guests and visitors. We're very glad that you're here as guests today, and we hope that we will gather to experience God's grace. And so take time now and stand and greet three or four or five persons around you as we welcome one another in worship today.
Welcome to the Sunday worship service at First United Methodist Church at 401 South Spring Avenue in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. We're glad you're worshiping with us today on our live stream broadcast at 8:30 and 9:45. Today's sermon title is Nothing Separates Us from Jesus. Pastor Bob Rudebush is giving the message. We hope you'll find the worship service a blessing in your life this week.
We invite you to remain standing as we share in our call to worship and our opening prayer. Will you join me as we share in the call to worship? Brothers and sisters, the extravagant love of God has called us together. For long before we were even aware of it, God knew us. God had already chosen us to be a part of God's family, children of God. And having chosen us, God called us. And having called us, God justifies us. And having justified us, God gave us God's glory. What extravagant love is this? So come, let's worship God together. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you on the beauty of this day to gather as your people to worship. We pray that you would stir and be in our midst with the power of your Spirit. That as we offer to you our best worship, we also pray that you would speak to our hearts, encourage us and strengthen us in our journeys of life and faith. So be with us now as we worship together, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please join as we sing our opening hymn, Children of the Heavenly Father, number 141, followed by Glory to God.
Seated. We not only have opportunities to give financially to God through the gifts that God has blessed us with, but as I said earlier, we have opportunities to be the hands and feet of Christ, and we invite you to sign up to help with our Epic Block Party as we kick off the fall. We really just need people to come and just greet and visit and talk with other folks, and so hopefully you would be willing to do that, as well as we need persons who might be interested in serving on our first serve team, which is the team that kind of organizes a lot of our mission opportunities and outreaches. So if you're interested, that's a good way to be a participant in giving back to God as well. So we now ask that the ushers would wait upon us as we give of our tithes, our offerings, and our gifts to God. Let us pray. Oh God, we breathe you in. We lean into your love. We allow and invite the power of your Spirit to touch our lives, to speak to us, to heal us, to guide us, to comfort us, and speak truth to us. God, we offer the very best of our lives to you. We've offered these gifts to you. We offer them in trust and hope that they will change and transform lives with the power of your good news. We're grateful for our community of faith. We pray that you would continue to guide us in our discernment in ways that we continue to be faithful to your call in our lives, the mission of our hearts. We know that there are many needs and joys in our hearts. We celebrate with Karen Kube and Ron Milkey, who were married here on Friday. We celebrate with Pastor Taylor and Kirsten, who were married the weekend before. We thank you for the joy of marriage and pray your blessing upon them and all of us in the joys of our lives. We're mindful of many who need your healing touch, and there are names that are in our hearts and minds. We offer them to you. We're mindful of Michelle and Mark and Patty's co-workers, for Jody and for Audrey. The gift of your power and your healing. The gift of your spirit that speaks in the midst of weakness. May it truly bring your blessing and your love. We thank you for the power of your word that reminds us over and over again that in the separations of our lives, especially maybe even thinking of our separation from you, O Lord, that you reach out to us. You desire to be in relationship with us, and for that we are grateful. So bless us in our worship. Help us to be stirred by the power of your word, that we may truly sing from the top of our lungs to your glory each day. For we ask this in Jesus' name, who invited his disciples to pray with him. He said, pray like this: Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. This time, we're glad to have Pastor Andrea Johnson come and share with us the gift of music today.
So faithful, so constant, so loving and so true, so powerful in all you do. You fill me, you see me, you know my every move, and you love for me to sing to you. And I never patient, so gracious, so merciful and true, so wonderful in all you do. You fill me, you see me, you know my every move, and you love for me to sing to you. And I know that you are for me, I know that you are for me, I know that you will never forsake me in my weakness, and I know that you have come now, even if to write upon my heart. To remind me that I know that you are for me, I know that you are for me, I know that you will never forsake me in my weakness, and I know that you have come now, even if to write upon my heart. To
thank you, Andrea. Andrea's a pastor in the Covenant Church, and she's been a very great addition to our staff and working with our children and youth ministry, and also got her sing music, and so we're grateful for her ministry among us. We also are moving, and this is the last of the sermon series on connecting to God through these chapters, verses chapters 5, 6, 7, and 8 of Romans. Hopefully, if you, our goal is always in the summertime, even though things are a little more relaxed, that through your own personal study, you were following along and reading these very great chapters of the Scriptures, Paul's theology on understanding the great grace of God, and so hopefully you've been reading through, and today we end that. Now, our next series is going to be on entitled, I Love My Church. And we're going to talk about, you know, Jesus' idea to have the church and have a community of faith. And so we will look at what it means to be the church universal. What does it mean to be a United Methodist Church? Also, what does it mean to be First United Methodist Church? And just understanding here the month of August, and hopefully come with that sense of, I understand why I love my church and how I want to tell other people about why I love my church. And understanding the role of the church. Because, you know, in our culture today, we have a lot of people who, you know, it's just Jesus and me, and I really don't need anybody else. But we all know that we do need other people. And a church is, community is a great place to experience that. So we're going to read our scripture today from Romans chapter 8, verses 26 through 28 and 31 and following. Now, it's going to be, we got the words mixed up. We're doing a New Revised Standard Version here. It's CB up there, close. You kind of figure it out as we go. All right, here we go. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to His purpose. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not withhold His own Son, but gave Him up for all of us, will He not with Him also give us everything else? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? It is Christ Jesus who died, yes, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, and who intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long, we are counted as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Well, God, it just seems impossible because there's so many ways that we separate ourselves from You. There's times when we fail to be Your people. It's hard for us to grasp that You love us. Today, help us to commit to our hearts and minds that there is nothing that separates us from You. Let us hear Your word for us today. Amen. About a year ago, I had the great pleasure to officiate at the wedding of my niece, Kaylee, and her husband, Alex. And over the year, they've been able to buy a house. And of course, like many Americans, they got a dog named Walter. Now, Walter, I mean, I can tell my nieces, we've chatted, and she loves this dog. She's like my mom in a way. She's my sister's daughter, and so my mom was one who really loved animals, and so she's got cats and dogs and everything. Anyway, they got Walter, and Walter, it turns out, has separation anxiety disorder. I didn't even know dogs could get this. I didn't know animals. I mean, you know, when you go like, what are you talking about? Well, you know, they can't leave this dog at home. I mean, the first time they both left, messed up the house, you know, tore it up, and you know, so then my sister, being the, you know, she's helping out. So when they both have to go, she drives over and sits with his dog, and so does my brother-in-law. And I just noticed and had, you know, I'm probably going to tell her, hey, by the way, you're in the sermon this week. You know, these people I don't tell them usually that my family gets in the sermon. I probably should, shouldn't I? But anyway, they're going to love it anyway, aren't they? So anyway, I noticed they got another dog. So I think they got two dogs so that, you know, Walter won't feel alone and have that sense of separation anxiety. But, you know, we have it as human beings. You know, when I do weddings, and especially when they have like a child under 5 years old, when they tell me that, I'm always like, oh boy, here we go. Because, you know, they tend to not want to come down the aisle at all. Oftentimes, the mom is either back there kind of going, you know, like this, and the child keeps looking back like, no, I'm not going. Or we have the parent down here, and of course, then they race down here to get, you know, there's that sense of, you know, and you've seen that, you know, when you offer a child to somebody else, you know, how quickly the child goes, no, I don't want that person, I want to stay with. There's always that sense of separation anxiety. And I remember even the first times we dropped our daughter off at the daycare, you know, that was kind of like, oh my golly, it's like the end of the world, you know. I mean, there's that sense of separation that always is difficult. And in a lot of ways, I think that's kind of sometimes our relationship with God. When we get into difficult moments or struggles in life, we too probably have a sense of, you know, why does God seem so far away? Why does God seem separate from me? This time that we've looked at chapters 5, 6, 7, and 8 of Romans helps us hopefully to really understand, and the key focus was to know the nature of God. You know, because that's one of the important pieces of our relationship with God is to know who God is, to know God's nature. And in knowing God's nature, then we know, in a way, how we can build that personal relationship with God, hopefully overcoming this sense of separation. Now, throughout, you know, the Bible, we see where we get this idea of our separation from God. It happens because we are sinners. We are fallen beings. We make mistakes. We hurt other people. We have to ask God for forgiveness continually. And early on, there was this belief that that's what would always eternally separate us from God, is the sin that we commit and live in our lives. However, Paul helps us to see how God has come to overcome this separation. It's not our doing, but God's doing, who has come to help us overcome this. And in doing so, helping us overcome this sense of separation, he offers to us this understanding of how God has come to earth in Jesus Christ. And it is through the death and resurrection, the life of Jesus, that this separation is broken. You know, Paul is an interesting writer. If you noticed, our scripture had a series of questions. It's almost like he's in a debate. You know, you start with a question and then you begin to answer that question. You know, who will separate us from the love of God? Who is against us? Who will condemn us? Who will go after God's elect? You notice he asks a question and then there's an answer to that question. And then the questions that stir within us is, if God is for us, who is against us? Why would we imagine that God is against us if we know that God is for us? Who condemns us? It's not God. It's not Jesus Christ. Jesus, who came to overcome the sin of life, who comes and lives the perfect life, and yet even through suffering and death and his resurrection, does not condemn us. Who can separate us from the love of God? So we hear, first of all, that God is for us. Now, isn't that great good news to realize? And I think sometimes we forget. God is for us. God's not against us. You know, I remember reading a story about a man who was speeding. And he was on one of these interstates, and it was really busy. And he thought, well, if I'm speeding, there's no way that the police officer can catch me. And so he's speeding along and he's passing cars and it was pretty busy. And at this time, there was also a helicopter overhead who was tracking all the traffic and would then call down, you know, to a policeman on the ground and say, look for this car, it's been speeding. And so, lo and behold, our friend gets picked up and he's pulled over and he just can't believe it. And, you know, the officer comes over and says, you've been speeding, and he starts writing out a ticket to him. And the man said, can I ask you, I just, you know, traffic's so heavy, how did you know that I was speeding? And the policeman officer, as he's writing the ticket, just pointed up to the sky and then went back to writing on his pad. And the man said, are you telling me that God is against me too? God is against me too? You know, it sometimes feels like that, doesn't it? You know, is God got something out for me? But Paul, I think, helps us. And we use the word theology. You know, it's kind of one of those big college words. But basically, what is our understanding of the nature of God? You know, is God the one who forgets us? Is God, who is he against us? Is he out to punish us? Paul says no. Paul says no to that. He says, that in reality we should recognize how deeply God loves us. That even when we sin and we make mistakes, even when we struggle and are not sure, God is there loving us. And it's amazing to me how often we forget that or somehow lose that, because I have bumped into more and more people oftentimes who say, well, God can't love me because of this. And when I say, well, no, God still loves you. Well, how can that be? How can that be? God is for us, not against us. He was in the hospital overcoming cancer treatments, and he had not been a part of the church for a while, and a pastor walked into his room and had conversation, and then pastor said, can we pray? And the man said, yeah. And so then they prayed, and after the prayer, the man said, you know, throughout my life, I know there's been moments God was close to me, and this was just one of those moments. Thank you very much. And in fact, it helped me to realize that I do matter to God. I do matter. That each one of us matters to God. That we're important. We're children of God. And as children of God, we must know God's love for us. Must realize and internalize the power of God's love in our hearts and lives. As this man recognized it again, we know of the movements of the Spirit. And in fact, earlier in the scripture is a real powerful recognition of that, that there are times in our lives when we're so overwhelmed, we don't even know what to pray. And it says, in our weakness, God comes and the Spirit prays for us. Literally, God prays for us and carries us. You know, much like that story about the footprints in the sand, we always say, well, where were you, God? And, you know, God was carrying us. God is for us. Who is against us? Not God. We also realize that we're not condemned, you know, because there was this belief that, well, if we, because of our sin, because of the darkness in our hearts and lives, that this separation from God, we are being condemned by God. But again, Paul says, but who can condemn us? The only person who can condemn us is Jesus. And Jesus isn't doing that. As Jesus rose from the dead, he now is at the side of God, and he intercedes for us. I mean, Jesus intercedes for us. Reminds God over and over, you love these people. God does not condemn, but God loves us. And in fact, that's the powerful remembrance today, that we're not condemned by God. God doesn't look for ways to punish us or be absent from us. But Paul reminds us that God loves us in and through the gift of Jesus Christ. You know, who were the people that Jesus hung out with? It wasn't the church people. It was the people that were extending the edge of those who say, man, I don't know if God loves me. It's our call to help people know that they're not condemned. We work with God to demonstrate God's love to this world. And of course, that last question is, who separates us from the love of God? Well, oftentimes it's us. We're the ones that kind of pull ourselves away from God. Even though we think, well, God, where are you? Why aren't you here for me? And Paul reminds us that there is nothing that can separate us from God's love. And it's a great explanation, a point of this whole series of these four or five chapters, from chapter 5 to 8, where he is overcoming and reminding the people in Rome, as well as the Christians today, that there's nothing that can separate us from God's love. I mean, he gives us a whole litany of death and life and disappointment and struggle and despair and harassment. I mean, he uses all these different words. There is nothing in all of creation that can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Martin Luther, the great reformer, formed the Lutheran tradition, said it's kind of like we have two ways of understanding of God. There's the academic understanding, I believe there's a God, I know there's a God. But he said the really more powerful transformation occurs not only that we believe there's a God, but we have faith in that God. We know that God loves us. And we know on the gift of Christ in our hearts and lives. And because we know it, we literally trust and transform ourselves. We surrender ourselves to that love. And know that that love is like a drumbeat. It's a constant love every day. In the 1900s, two families immigrated to the San Francisco area. They each purchased areas of land to raise roses. One family came from Japan, another family came from Switzerland. They both wanted to start a nursery, and that's why they immigrated to San Francisco, because that's what their family traditions were in their countries they had left. They ended up having property next to each other. So you can imagine, here's a Japanese family and a family from Switzerland living next door neighbors and trying to kind of figure out who they are. They were in competition because they raised roses and they would take them into the city and sell them. And they each made a great living. And over a 40-year period, they came to know each other deeper and deeper. They would help each other out, fill in for each other. The two fathers who led the families and then later was passed to their children, there was just a deep relationship and a deep love for one another. At the beginning of the war, especially during Pearl Harbor, as we know, many Japanese people were then taken away to internment camps in Colorado. And the Japanese family in their nursery, they were kind of worried what was going to happen to it. And their neighbor said, you know, don't worry. We'll take care of your property, whatever happens. If they take you away, we will care for it. We'll take care of it. Because we know, you know, our faith tells us that you would do the same thing for us. And so this family did be taken away from San Francisco, moved to Colorado, an internment camp for not one, two, but 3 years. And they just thought, well, did our neighbors really take care of our property? It's probably impossible that they did. They get back home, and they come, and they're met at the train depot by their neighbors. And they give them a ride home, and they get to the house, and as they get out of the car, they see that the nursery, the flowers are still there. The family who had done this worked many extra hours to not run their own place, but run the neighbor's place as well. They handed over to the father a savings book because they had deposited all their share of the money into their savings account for that 3 years. And as they went into the house, they just couldn't believe the house was in perfect condition. It had been cleaned and cared for. And on the table was one little rose, just ready to bud. Family was just overwhelmed. They couldn't believe it. Their neighbors had kept their promise. God keeps God's promises to us today. God promises in and through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ to love us, not condemn us, but be for us. And God's powerful promise to us today is that there's nothing that separates us from God's love. Now, we're reminded that when we fail, we got to pick ourselves up and not just keep sinning. Paul reminds us that through this whole process. But that ultimately, because we know the deep love of God, we will live love. I mean, can you imagine? What family would do that? They did it, and they responded by saying, this is what God calls us to do. To be people of love, because we know love. We know God's love. So this week, I hope to apply to each one of our hearts these words. There is nothing that can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Can you say that with me? There is nothing that can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. It doesn't seem possible, God, but yet you remind us over and over of this great truth, that your nature is bent towards love, and especially love of those who are apart from you. Lord, we just pray that we would take this verse and apply it to our lives each day, that we would remember every day there is nothing in all of creation that can separate us from your great love through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
If you would stand, please, and join us on Build Your Kingdom Here. This features a really cool organ part by Bruce up there, who's done just about everything today.
Come set your rule and reign in our hearts again. Increase in us, we pray. Unveil why we're made. Come set our hearts ablaze with hope, like wildfire in our very souls. Holy Spirit,
we refuse to waste our lives for your
That's a great song, and it reminds us we worship a great God who loves us dearly and deeply. Let us share in our sending forth together. As we go from here, remember this. As followers of Jesus Christ, we have not received a spirit of fear, but one of hope and confidence. For we are children of God, members of God's own family, and heirs with Jesus Christ himself. So let us go out with joy to love and serve the Lord. We go as witnesses of the risen Christ to be a sanctuary of Christian hope, love, and encouragement of Sioux Falls. Amen. Again, we're glad to have our guests and visitors with us today. We do have some coffee and fellowship. I invite you to stay for that. You also can note we've got some repairs going on in the chapel, and if you want to sneak in there and look, the transformation is occurring. And so again, thank you all who have made possible our transformation in those spaces. So we share in our sending song, Grace Alone, verse 1. This will be the last week for that there, Lori. You know, this is it. Right? She was ready to do a new sending song. We're going to do one next week. So, but we'll do it one last time here, Grace Alone, verse 1.
Today, First United Methodist Church has three worship services every Sunday, 8:30 and 4:00.